what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Brother, like, stop. Right on.
Morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Let me begin by again announcing that on Monday we will be broadcasting live from Labor Day 2022 at the beautiful Summerfest grounds. I don't have to tell you anymore about the fact that I love Labor Fest. I'm a union guy through and through, and so it's an opportunity for union people to come together collectively and be thankful for the fact that there are things such as unions that have made our lives easier and given us, many of us who were in the labor force, an opportunity to make a decent living. So every year we celebrate Labor Fest, where people who are in unions come together and celebrate the fact that we are so fortunate to have been a part of those unions that made our lives better. Mike Crute and I are going to be broadcasting live on this coming Monday. I don't know, Connor's my guest on the line?
Not currently.
Okay, I don't think she's on the line. But anyway, let's do this. As I await her calling, I wanted to talk about, have you ever bought a new vehicle, you know, or even a used car? You know, I've had to go to dealerships many times. The older you get, the more times you've had to haggle with people who sell cars. And you know when you walk in, you're going to get fleeced. You know, I can go in and purchase a refrigerator, a stove, appliances that we know, you know, there's going to be a price, set price. There's no haggling with it. That's fine. I see what the price is, and I'm fine with that. Washer and dryer, you know, appliances, refrigerator, stoves, whatever that is, you know what it is. You walk in, and you're fine with that. But why is it that when you walk into an automobile dealership, you know you're going to be taken advantage of? You know, why is that? I can tell you that, you know, not a good feeling. You know, that it's not that the car dealer, new or used car dealers, when you walk in, aren't sociable. They're more than that. You know, they look at you and you think, this is a friend. You know, this is a friend. We're going to have a great relationship. I can trust this person to come in and make you feel warm inside. And this is going to be a great opportunity. We're both going to work together. I'm going to do really good things for you when you walk in the door. And there's some skill associated with the person who is sitting there. You just don't know. You know, it's like the guy who's a dealer in three-card Monte. You know, where there's the cards are kind of bent. They're three cards and they're, and you know, and there's sometimes there's a red card and two black cards, and the guy's swift of hand. And, you know, you're looking at it, and he's setting you up, and he's doing it where you can see it. And he sets you up, because the more you see it, the more you say, oh, that's pretty good. I know exactly I got him, you know, because he's moving it in a manner where you can see it. Well, that's for free. Well, that's when you're betting a dollar. And then he lets you win $5 or $10. And you say, oh, I got it. He's not too good. This guy's in the wrong game. And then he does it again. He lets you win a couple more dollars. And then, you know, you feel comfortable. He set you up. And then finally you make a decision. You say, well, enough of this, these peanuts. Let's bet $50. And the guy who's, you know, doing the dealing, moving things around, he says, I don't know, you're getting me. And then your ego says, oh, okay, I got him. And then the guy says, oh, okay, I'll put up the $50. You've just beat him 10 straight times for a dollar. And then when you bet the 50, all of a sudden, the card you saw, the same thing, well, it's not that red card anymore. Guys don't play three-card deal in three-card Monty to lose. It's their job. They know what they're doing, and they know that they're going to be the winner in the end. Same thing when they put a bead under some cups, under three cups, and they move them around, and your eye, the old axiom is the hand is always quicker than the eye. And so same thing, you think you've got it figured out. Well, when you walk into a car dealership, new or used, make no mistake about it, you're going to lose. So this conversation that we're getting ready to have, it's about inside the rise of dealerships and the shady economics of car buying. Not dealerships, dealerships. And all this is legal, right? Because you don't really have to buy it. But you and I don't know any better. We think we do. We bought enough vehicles that we think we understand the car business when it comes to buying cars. Well, you know, if you were buying it directly from the dealer itself, that would be a different story. If you bought directly from the dealer, there is a limit on the markup that a dealer can charge you, not dealer, a manufacturer. But you can't buy the car directly from a manufacturer. That's why the manufacturer puts something called a manufacturer's suggested retail price. They know about what the car should cost you. You know, but you're not buying it, and you can't buy it directly from the manufacturer. You got to buy it from the dealers. The dealers, on the other hand, have the ability. It used to be they couldn't sell it but a couple percentage points over the suggested manufacturer's retail price, but not anymore. Now, there's a debate, an argument from the manufacturers with the dealerships saying, hey, man, you're charging more than you should be charging. You're giving us a bad name. We, the manufacturers. Yeah, but the dealers are saying, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to sell this car for what I can afford to sell it for, because the legislature has given me the right to take advantage of the people who are going to buy the car. And true enough, the suggested manufacturer's retail price doesn't really matter, because the laws on the state levels have been changed to benefit the dealers. Why? because the dealers employ people, they say. And the dealers do some other things. They perform a service that, you know, once you buy the car, you can come back to the dealer and they can do these things. But in the meantime, that gives the dealer a right to take advantage of you. And I know I'm not alone. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. If you've ever gone into the dealership over the years and had to buy a new or used car, you know what I'm talking about. You walk in, you might as well be a blind man because you're going to lose. So my question becomes, you know, is that right? You know, I know it's not right. I shouldn't be taken advantage of. Excuse me. I know we are in this society. It's another one of those situations where you're going to be taken advantage of in this country. And, you know, whether or not, I don't care how bright you are, how smart you are, you don't know anything about the inner workings of how these dealerships work. We're going to talk about that in the next couple minutes because we're going to be heading to a break in a few minutes. But I know right now, with the price of new vehicles and what is happening there, it really is criminal that you walk in and, you know, you tell a guy, this is what I have to spend. Well, you know, you need to get some underbody coating. Okay, all right, well, so what is it? It's not going to cost you much. Just, you know, it's going to last a while. We'll spray it on. Well, how much is it? Well, it's going to be $2,000 additional dollars. You don't know what the underbody coating is. You don't know whether it makes one hill of beans a difference. But again, they've talked you into it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, I was talking about what happens when you go into a dealership to buy a vehicle, new or used. It looks like my guest is on the line. Let's get her on the line. Connor. Is she on? Hey, good morning, Carrie. How are you?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'll get back to my other subject. It's my classmate from Washington High School 50 years ago as we prepare for our 50-year high school reunion and all points bulletin we're putting out to former Pergolders of the class of 1972. How are things going?
Actually, we've gotten a lot of really good response. We're up to 50 now, and we're hoping for 50 more. And we it is October 15th at the Doubletree in Brookfield, $75 per person. And I, on Classmates, I have where to send the check. And if you can't send a check, I take Venmo. We have the music.
So listen, we'll get into the details. I'll make sure that I announce those details. But what is it like to, 50 years later, what does it feel like?
Well, I think it's really nice because we just can talk about all our great memories from high school, and I just think it's a great reminiscing thing, and being our class was very close. It is kind of really cool.
Yeah, you know, the fact that people are spread out so much. I look at the other high schools in Milwaukee who are having theirs, and you know, the thing about our school and so many people scattered, left the state and moved on to other things, and trying to connect with them. One of the reasons why I thought it was important that we could have this short period of time is to reach out to people inside of Wisconsin who are still in Wisconsin, who may be listening.
Right.
Our classmates, to extend an invitation to them to join us. As again, we celebrate a pinnacle in life. There are many different pinnacles in life, you know, and certainly your 50-year high school reunion is one.
Yes, and interesting enough, we've got people from Sacramento. We have people from Minnesota so far. And we have people from Florida coming. There's a lot of people coming from out of state.
Yeah, so, you know.
And which is really, really nice.
Well, you know, we still know that there are a lot of them around the state that we need to reach out to and grab. And so that's the whole purpose of me extending an invitation to you to come on. We're gonna continue to get the information out and
Right. Word
of mouth. You know, I don't know. Are you still connected to any of your high school friends?
Yes, many.
Yeah.
I really socialize with a lot of just phone calls and stuff like that because I live in Florida now.
Right.
But people have come and stayed with me and things like that because we're all very close and everybody is actually my friends as much as your friend. You know what I mean? It's the connections of people.
Yeah. And so that's really what you count on. It's more than a notion.
Yeah.
Try to organize, to put things together. I know if it's even nothing more than a family reunion.
Right.
Trying to organize, putting those things together. So kudos to you as you continue to hold this torch that you have now, what, done four times since
yes,
we graduated.
I think I've done 35, 40, 45, and now 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are all the ones I've put together. And the funny thing is, I've lived basically in Florida the whole time.
you know, 30, 40, 45, I thought you were going to say years old. But that's how those are the years we've been out of school. 30,
right?
40,
yep.
45, and 50.
And 50, right. You got that right, Earl.
You know, the evil consequences of time, each and every time, you know, and you do the research to talk about those who are no longer with us. So, Carrie, I appreciate it. I appreciate the hard work. I've got some conversations that I need to be having with you off the air about some of the things that I've been able to do and some of the people I've been able to reach. But we'll keep on hammering away until that time. Thank you very much for the hard work. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
You're too, sweetie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This was Carrie Houghton, my former high school classmate of Washington High School. Here it is, unbelievably, 50 years later. I don't believe it, but, you know, it is. Anyway, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm talking about, you know, car dealerships. If you've ever gone, had to go into a new car dealership or used car dealership and what you experience, I just, what, several months ago, my wife and I bought a new car. And so you go into the dealership, and the guy is really cordial, you know, really nice, but when you go in, you're going to be fleeced. But we do it anyway. And so you just think that somehow makes you think that you're going to get something, you're going to somehow persuade him to take less or charge you less than what you really are going to wind up paying. And one of the things that, you know, is not surprising to me is this. Listen to this. A slew of economic studies has found patterns in who bears the brunt of this pricing strategy. It's not pretty. For example, a number of studies find that dealerships tend to, and this is not a surprise, and this is, these are the kind of things that really make me angry about our nation. Let me repeat this. For example, a number of studies find that dealerships tend to charge, guess what, Connor? People of color more than white folks when it comes to paying for the cars. What does my color have to do with me going into a dealership and buying a car that somehow I should be charged more because of my color? How is that something that should even be possible? And what does that have to do with anything? But they've done studies to back that up. You know, being a black person in this country is difficult enough, but for heaven's sakes, I'm just going to buy a car. I don't expect that somebody's going to see me as a bigger sucker just because of the color of my skin. You know, another study finds that older people, me again, tend to be charged higher prices than younger people. What does the fact that I'm an older person have to do with the dealer charging me more money than a younger person? And that older women tend to be charged the highest price of all. Why is it that we just can't do the right things in a society? Why are these, all of these other attachments, you know, a part of the business we do in this country and in this society. Just not right. Just not proper. One study found that the dealerships tend to treat a buyer's decision to trade in their car. Have you ever traded in your car when you get ready to buy a new one? And you say, well, if I trade my car in, I'm going to get a better deal on the new car. And that, not going to happen. I don't care what kind of condition your used car is in. You go to the new car dealer to trade in your car to buy a new car, and he's going to take your used car. I don't care how much you've taken care of it, and then he's going to turn around and sell it for a tremendous profit. Look, all I want to do is buy a car. You know, I shouldn't be taken advantage of. But that's the country we live in. That has nothing to do with anything else other than you and I live in a society that has sucker written all over us. You know, you want to get what is it called, man? You know, the television stations, you know, the satellite and all of those kinds of things, and you want channels, and you say, I just want these options. Man, up until recently, I was paying over $250 a month for, you know, the satellites. Not the satellites. They don't do satellites anymore. Cable. $250 a month. And with 9,000 channels, in which 8,950 were no good. We just have to be smarter. And the only way we'll get around what they do in businesses in this country is to get smarter. And let them realize, hey, we know you're fleecing us, you know, and so we don't want you to do it anymore. Please stop taking advantage of us. But they take advantage of us again because they can. They take advantage of us again, no matter what it is, because people who are there to protect us don't. You know, I can speak about it ad nauseum. The only reason these people can do what they do to us is because laws are being crafted to benefit those who are in the position of selling things to you and I. Because those lobbyists who are there to represent and protect the businesses in this country, not you and I. I just don't care what it is, you know. And I guess that's never going to change until we, the people, wake up and find out that the power and strength is really in us. Let me go here. Here's another issue. California may block businesses from punishing folks who smoke pot off the clock. If I'm not on the job, why should the company I work for be able to punish me, i.e., fire me, suspend me, because I smoke weed when I'm not working? What does that have to do with anything? How does that impact what I do on my job? Why is that even an issue? A new bill in California will prevent companies from punishing workers who fail a test that looks into whether they've recently used marijuana. Hey, marijuana is legal in California. So if marijuana is legal in California, how can the company I work for test me and find out I've been smoking a legal substance on the weekend or after I'm off work on my own time? Things are so out of whack in this country that unless we wake up and make these things change and change the people who are in these positions that allow companies to do that. Look, I work for Civic Media. If I choose to smoke weed after I'm off work, if I choose to smoke weed on the weekend, no different than drinking alcohol, weed is legal in California. Alcohol is legal in California. You don't punish me for drinking, but you can fire me for smoking a legal substance when I'm off work. How do these things make any sense? They don't. But how are we ever going to change these things? Why do we keep accepting them the way that they are? They're nonsensical. California soon could become the seventh state to make sure people won't lose their jobs if they smoke marijuana when they are off the clock. State lawmakers on Tuesday passed a bill that would stop companies from punishing workers who fail a certain type of drug test that detects not whether a person is high, but whether the person has used marijuana at all in recent days. It's legal. Why in the world is there even a law that's on the books that does that? And how many people have been fired before they finally make the decision to change that law? Listen, all laws should not be followed. There are laws that are not right. There are laws that are not just. There are laws that make no sense whatsoever. Look, man, I try to follow the laws as much as I possibly can. But when there are laws that just don't make any sense whatsoever, why should you follow them? Some laws need to be fought. And this one especially is one of those. These tests, which rely on the urine or hair samples, look for a substance that the body makes when it breaks down the THC, the main compound in marijuana. But that substance, called metabolites, can remain in a person's body for weeks after using marijuana, according to the Mayo Clinic, meaning people can fail a drug test even though they are not impaired. I don't know. The legislation would prevent workers from being punished from failing these types of drug tests. Companies could still punish employees for failing other types of tests that use saliva and are better at determining if a person is currently high. Hey, man, if it doesn't affect what I'm doing on the job, I'm on the job when I'm on the job. I'm off the job when I'm off the job. If you're not firing me for drinking alcohol, which is a legal substance, you shouldn't be firing me when I'm off the job smoking marijuana, which is also a legal substance. These are those things that make you say, gotta be some change in directions of things that don't make sense in this country. Makes no sense whatsoever. Gotta go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, last week, I was talking about a Texas law that was passed by the legislature that allowed people who donated In God We Trust signs to be put up in Texas schools. And so there were people who purchased these signs in English. It said, "In God We Trust." And because of the way the legislature wrote the law, then these signs were allowed to be put up throughout Texas schools all over the state. Well, then I talked about a group that saw that and said, okay, we're going to show the hypocrisy of that law. We're going to test it and see if it stands up to scrutiny. And so there was money donated to people who then created In God We Trust signs in Arabic, and to see if they would be allowed the exact same freedoms that those who presented the signs in English were allowed. And sure enough, the signs in Arabic were denied. Now, under new law, Texas public schools must display posters that say "In God We Trust" if they are donated to a campus. But when a parent offered signs written in Arabic and rainbow colors, they were rejected. Texas passed a law last year that requires public schools to display the national motto if the signs are received and donations purchased with donated money. The Carroll Independent School District, an affluent, largely white district, last month received a shipment of signs and mottos with blue background above the U.S. flag, according to Dallas Morning News. They were reportedly donated by Patriot Mobile, a Christian conservative wireless provider that helped to elect conservatives to school board seats in the area. I mean, don't people see just the damage, the overall damage that this does to a society? You know, and so I know they don't care anymore. I get that. I understand that people have gotten to the point where, you know, you feel like you're superior to somebody else. You're superior for what reason? Well, I'm a Christian. Okay, you're a Christian. You know, if you were that, then you wouldn't be separating yourself as much as you do. Why is it that in this country, you see things that we know are wrong? We know this is wrong. And this is government supporting that. And then when the people want to put the signs up in Arabic to show the hypocrisy of what is happening, They're denied access to that. So what's going to happen? They're going to have to take this thing to court and sue. Why would they even have to go through that when the people of the legislature in Texas who created this law know that the law is not just? This is what I mean by not following laws that aren't just. If the law is not just, why should you follow it? But somebody comes up with a bigoted idea, and others don't have the strength or the constitution to say this is not right. Why? And now this thing gets drawn out. It gets drawn out because something is happening in this nation that I point out on a daily basis, which may irritate and anger some people. But you know it's wrong. Why should it irritate and anger you if you know what somebody is saying is the truth? Well, if I, what I'm saying is not true, 844-967-2789. Refute it. Defeat it. You can't. Because you know that makes no sense. You know that's racist. You know that's bigoted. But yet, it's a new law. But you always hear constantly that things are getting better. Well, you know, they're not as bad as they used to be, Earl. What are you talking about? May not be outwardly as bad as they used, you know, as they used to be. But there's signs like this that we're not getting better. We're getting worse. Number one, there was no reason to even come up with that. What was the purpose? What was the point of somebody coming up with a law that says, you know, in God we trust? You know, there's been separation of church and state all the time. How does it make you feel better to put signs up in the school, "In God we trust," when you really don't trust in God? Because if you trusted in God, you wouldn't need to put the signs up to say that. Your actions would speak for you. And the actions of what these people did certainly don't speak of God. They speak of something else. But just over and over and over and over, things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. And I tell you something. I purposely this morning said, listen, I want to go and try to find some positive things to talk about. Right? Because I've been beating the drum pretty hard about negative things. But it's hard to find real substantive positive things to talk about in today's world. So many things are pointed in the wrong direction. And it's why we got to work hard to fix it. Come on. You wouldn't put the signs up because they were in Arabic. You put the signs up because they're in English. Come on. You got to do better. And the other part of it is, we got to call people out in wrong. I don't care who they are. Got to call them out in wrong. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. I got to leave.